You know, one of the things I mention often, because it's, to me it's so important as far as building a relationship, a friendship with God, is getting into the Bible and reading it. And not just to get head knowledge, not just to say, there, I did my duty for the day, but to make connection with God, this one that you want to become a friend to. That's so important. And what if you miss a day? It's not the end of the world. You just start again the next day. Once in a while, I miss a day. And if you want to stone me for that, you can, but I just start over the next day. And I have three books in here that are my favorites. I know Marcy has Ruth. She's going with you over, right, Ellie? Yeah, that's Marcy's favorite. Amelie, I don't know if you've changed, but all growing up, your favorite was Job. And I didn't pick either one of those for my favorites. My favorites, number one, is John, the book of John, the Gospel of John. That's, I just get spoken to so often in that book. And the next one would probably be Romans and how God has used that. That was the book I started reading when I made that challenge to God almost a half a century ago, that if you're real, I'll give you so many weeks to prove yourself to me. Talk about arrogant, huh? But that's where I was at. And the last one would have to be Hebrews. There is so much amazing things in Hebrews. And that's what we're going to look at today. And what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to turn to Hebrews and chapter 11. It's known as the faith chapter. And we're just going to start going through there today. It won't take the whole sermon time, but most of it. And I'll stop and point certain things out as we come across a verse that has been meaningful to me, and something maybe God showed me some things over the years, or other people have showed me over the years. And just to almost get your attention that if you give yourself to study this thing that God gave us as one of the greatest gifts we could ever get. Anybody ever prayed to take something to heaven with them? You know the saying, you can't take anything to God to heaven with you. Well, you're probably right. And but I said several times, God, if I could take anything, I'd just like to take my copy of the Bible. And then you could really enlighten me once you're up there. And I don't know if that'll ever happen or not. But he could make a new copy, word for word, underlined by underlined, dated by dated. But that's what we're going to do. We're going to start reading through there and see how beneficial it can be. Lessons just flow off the page in just this one little chapter about how good God wants to be towards us and how he wants us to live our lives. Next week, I'm going to share, it's almost like a part two. Next week will be five lessons I've learned over the last half a century as far as walking in faith with God. But today, Hebrews 11, verse 1. If you want to follow along in your own Bibles, or I'm sure they'll put it up there too. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. That's pretty bold, isn't it? It's the assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. Don't you just like seeing something if you know that's what you're supposed to do? Touch it, feel it, smell it. Faith doesn't require any of those things. The conviction of things not seen, for by it the men of old gained approval. I have gained approval highlighted there. You don't have to raise your hand, but I'll just ask, throw questions out once in a while. Do you want to actually live a life that's so pleasing to God that he approves of how you're living your life? I do. Do I goof up? Yeah. I had a friend make a mistake. He's the only friend I ever had that made a mistake. Now, everybody makes mistakes. As a matter of fact, I tell people, if you don't have ever made a mistake, please don't come to our church here, because none of us will be able to relate to you. So we've all made mistakes, but the verse comes to mind is from one of the Proverbs. It says, the righteous man falls seven times, but rises up again. So if you're a godly, righteous person, you're going to fall sometimes, but don't give up. Don't be so hard on yourself. Just get back up, brush yourself off, and get going again. So that's how you gain approval. Verse 3, by faith, we understood that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. The worlds were prepared by the word of God. It says that God spoke creation into being. Some of the places it talks about he sang creation into being. So that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he's dead, he still speaks. It's talking about being able to offer the right kind of gifts to God, the right kind of sacrifices to God. And that could be a sermon in itself. I'm just going to keep reading. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. Did you know there was two people in the Bible that never died? Enoch was one of them. Anybody know who the other one was? Elijah. Oh, I'm sorry, Gary. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Huh? Oh, yes. Yeah, he's seen him. There goes my teacher. Goodbye. You know, some people refer to Enoch and Elijah, the only two people that never died mentioned in the Bible, that they'll probably be the two witnesses in Revelation come back and they stand there and witness. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was those two. By faith, Enoch was taken up so he would not see death. Be a good way to go. Anybody ever pray about the good way to go? Everybody think about that, how you're going to die? Pretty good chance you and I probably won't be with Enoch and Elijah. So you might think, Jess, that's a stupid prayer. And it could be, but God, when I die, when it's my time to go, I pray that I could be the best witness for you that I could ever be. That's the kind of the death I want to die. And you say, you want to die as a martyr? I don't care. God, I just want to be pleasing to you in whatever makes you look good the most. That's the way I would go. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before he was taken up, he was pleasing to God. I try every day to be pleasing to God. I hope you do too. And again, you can't be perfect, but it should be a goal, something to shoot for. I remember there used to be a guy that came here years ago, and whenever you'd asked him, or I heard somebody ask him this, this was his reply. So his name was Mike. Mike, how are you doing today? Well, my sin average, my sin level is down quite a bit. See what he's trying to say? And everybody makes mistakes, but our goal is to learn to be as pleasing to God as you can. And that was their witness, Enoch's witness. Now here's another interesting point. Verse 6, and without faith, it's impossible say impossible. What does impossible mean? A maybe? Once in a while? I think impossible means impossible. How's that for a real amazing comment, huh? And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we have to have faith. A couple people asked me when they came in the door today, how you doing? And I looked at them and do I be honest with them or not? And for several, Joe and Cindy were some of them. Drew, I think you asked me. And I said, well, the honest answer is, I'm physically doing all right, but spiritually, I have just not got anything in order for today. It's not that I didn't try. It's not that I didn't give it time. And then when I shared that with Marcy, she asked me, so what are you going to be speaking on? This is the first she ever asked for today. And I said, well, it's about learning to walk in faith. And she started giggling. It's like, why are you giggling? Because you're going to be teaching people how to walk in faith, and you don't have anything together, so you're going to have to walk in faith. Yeah, I guess you got me, right? But it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Okay, we have to believe that God's real. And I've shared my testimony of how I came to that conclusion almost a half a century ago. And that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. You have to believe that he's real, and you have to believe that he is the one that's going to reward you and I when we're walking in faith, if we're seeking him. I learned a lot of my Bible verses that I put to memory from King James half a century ago. It was the only Bible out there. I'm just joking, but a lot of these new ones and stuff, they weren't around. So I'll tell you how it says it in King James, because I still remember this. And he who is the rewarder of those who, King James says, diligently seek him. And what do you think it means to diligently seek God? Any quick answers? How about, if I feel like seeking God, if I feel like reading, if I have time, if I don't have anything else on my agenda, there's no John Wayne movies tonight, you know, on and on. And every one of us can come up with excuses for not diligently seek him. But if we do diligently seek him, and if we believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him, diligently seek him. Now, I don't live for rewards, but I sure don't mind them. You know what I'm saying? It's nice when something happens and goes your way and rewards you, and it's God, obviously, whether we recognize it or not. But he's the rewarder of those who seek him diligently, seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. Salvation of your household. Salvation of my household. He prepared things that weren't even... you know, one of the things that has to be referring to is, you realize before the flood, it never rained. It never rained. So it says the earth was watered by like a dew or a mist that came down every day. And so put yourself in Noah's shoes. You want me to build this boat that's about from here down to the end of the ball field. I think it was three or four stories high, that big, pretty wide. And then you're going to fill it up with animals. Because if I don't, we're all going to drown in deep water. He had no idea what that meant. He couldn't have any idea what it meant. But by faith, he stepped out and started building. I put that picture of Noah and his sons building that ark back there. I got that, I think, from down at Sight and Sound years ago. But it's pretty accurate. And you look at it, it makes you think of how they had to slave away. How many years did it take them to build that? And remember? 100 years. 100 years to build that ark. And they didn't even have any chainsaws. They didn't have any electricity. They didn't have any lights once it got dark. But he built that out of faith. Things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Everybody, not everybody, most people know that my favorite go-to place to find a question, an answer to a question on the computer is Bing. I know there's other ones. It's just my favorite. And it's never let me down, so why change, right? But I remember, Wes, did Noah have any brothers or sisters? You probably never thought about that, did you? I did. Yeah, he had brothers and sisters. It's mentioned in the Bible. But guess how many brothers and sisters didn't get on that ark? None of them. So it wasn't just the world out there. This was flesh and blood. This is his brothers and sisters. Did he try to talk him into coming? I would have if I was him, but it didn't happen. It didn't work. So you just have to put things like that in God's hands. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. You know why this church is here on this geographical place? You know, we found out and we shared with you over the time that we found out this was part of the original homestead of Abram Daughter, the first white American to settle in this whole neck of the woods. And how we found out years later that it was right on this piece of land. Isn't that amazing? And he invited the Indians, local Indians that lived around him and other white settlers once they started to his little cabin that was just down the road on the other side of the bank there for worship services every Sunday. What a history, huh? But he was called to a place that he didn't know where it even was, where he was going. When I lived up in I moved to New Hampshire to take a job at a youth camp, Camp Brookwoods up in Laconia, New Hampshire area. I know Bill knows where it is. And I got hired when I was up in Alaska. You come here, we'll hire you, and it'll be a Christian job. And I was going to get paid to teach canoeing and scuba diving, two things I love to do. And so I went there. And then I developed a hernia and had to have an operation. It was the second time. The first one, that's how I met my wife, Marcy, on her first day at work. And she seen me and just fell in love with me at first sight. No, it was the other way around. But after 2 years, she went along with the deal. But anyway, when I come home, stay with my parents to have the operation, I was recovering, laying in my bed, my old bedroom, over the mountain in Summerhill, and I was laying there on my back, and I seen this thing up on the wall, and it caught my attention because that wasn't in my bedroom before. And I sit up and I looked at it for a while, and then I said, "What is that?" And what I seen was this little fire, and you could actually see the wind coming from the four different directions feeding that fire. And as the wind came from the four different directions, the fire got bigger and bigger and bigger until it was a bonfire. And God, what are you trying to show me there? He said, "This bonfire is going to start in Jonestown. That's where you need to live." "Is that true, God?" He said, "If you love me, it'll happen." Now, a lot has happened in that last half a century, and we're not there yet. This is not a bonfire type of people. You know what I'm saying? But it's going to happen. So sometimes you just have to step out in faith and go where you feel God's directing you to go, even if you don't know where you're going. It says that here. And receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Have you ever had to do something in your life not knowing where you're going? Probably most of us have. I'm like, why were you looking at Drew that way? Huh? Let's go and looking for a baby for foster care, yeah. Or adoption, who knows? Yeah. I shared with Marcy this week, "Are you still glad we got Boaz, that dog?" And she said, "This is not the day to ask me that." But anyway. So sometimes you just have to step out and trust, even though you don't know where you're going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in the foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac, his son, and Jacob, his grandson, fellow heirs in the same promise. And for he was looking for a city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He was looking for something that God is in charge of, God put together, God's building. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even when since she was beyond the proper time. You know how old Sarah was when she got pregnant? One and only time. I think it was about 90. Yeah. So for all you young ladies that haven't had a pregnancy yet, none of you are 90 here. There's still hope for everybody, right? That was a joke. But anyway, Sarah herself conceived the ability, received the ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life. And since she considered him faithful who had promised, God promised her that she would get pregnant. You know that's in the Bible? Yeah. You see, the more you read of this, the more all the puzzle pieces start to fit together and make more sense and give you more hope that you've ever had before, and a desire to become a friend of God, just like other people have. Since she considered him faithful who had promised, therefore there was born even to one man, and him as good as dead at that. You know how old Abraham was? She was 90. Abraham married a lady way long older than her. No, He was about 100 when he got Sarah pregnant. Him as good as dead at that. And many descendants as the stars in heaven in number and numerous as the sand which is on the seashore. That's how many offspring they were going to amount to. And back then you would think, how is that ever going to happen? Is it there yet? It's come a long ways. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles in the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they had went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. What a compliment. I don't think I've ever heard or felt like God was saying that to me, but maybe you have. But what a compliment for God to say, Allie, you're my friend. God's saying that to you. Really? Malachi, I want to have you as a friend. You could say that to every one of us. God is not ashamed to call us his friends, not ashamed to be called their God. For he has prepared a city for them. Talks about God allowing his son to come to earth, die on a cross so that we could have the perfect, not a spotless sacrifice, that we could be forgiven from all the mistakes we made, and then he would go back to heaven. And if anybody knows anything about the Jewish wedding ceremony that's mentioned in the Bible, it's playing out just like that Jewish wedding ceremony. Jesus had to go back to his father and build this place where he could bring his bride to. Can you imagine? I mean, it's been several thousand years now, Jesus working on building this place to bring his bride, us, back to. I can't even begin to imagine how amazing that must be going to be. We get little hints of it in the Bible, but. And then in the Jewish, when the father says, son, it's time. Go get her. That's the end of how we know life here. Jesus returns for his bride, and we're the bride, and we go up in the sky and meet him. And there's some other things that call into place too, but that's the quickie version. For he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, his son, who he had received the promise, was offering up his only begotten son. I don't know if you knew that story is in there. It's an amazing story, and it has so much meaning and playing it out through the rest of the Bible, that Abraham said that you're going to have sons. You're going to be more numerous than the stars and the sand. And then he only got one son. It didn't help that he was 100 when he got him. But that's it, one. And now God's asking me to take him and lay him on an offering and sacrifice him as an offering to God. Talk about gutsy. Talk about faith. Talk about trust. That's what he did. And said that he had his knife raised above his son. his son asked him on the way there, you had the fire, you have the I'm carrying the lumber, but where's the offering, Father? He said, God will provide. But we got there and it was his son. So he put him, tying up your son, laying him on a pile of sticks, getting ready to kill him and offer him a sacrifice. And just as he had the knife raised to kill him, I can't remember, it was God that said, don't do it, or an angel or something, don't do it. And he looked up, and there, just a few feet from him, was this lamb that was caught in the thickets that he could take the place of his son. So that's all these things. As you learn, as you read the Bible and you put these pieces together, it makes more and more sense to realize how much God is really in control. Offered up Isaac, who had received the promises, was offering up his only begotten son. It was he whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type of what? As a type of Jesus. That's what God the Father did. He offered up his son as a sacrifice, only he didn't hold back. Jesus had to die for our sins. 3 days later, you know the end of the story. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. He spoke of things in the future towards his sons. And his, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph. And I have this underlined, maybe because of my age. I didn't have a date by this. Yeah, yes, I do, about 9 years ago. He worshiped leaning on the top of his cane. He didn't even have the strength to stand up without the cane. But I hope I don't change when I don't have that strength. I hope I lean on top of my cane and still pronounce blessings upon my kids. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the Exodus, where they were going to be leaving Egypt and going into the promised land, because it was prophesied that it would happen. And it was, I think it was around 490 years later, but it was going to happen, and he didn't forget about it. The things that were written down are passed word from word, generation to generation, the Exodus of the sons of Israel, and gave order concerning his bones. What is that about? Now, if you knew what was happening, and Joseph knew that his time was coming close, he said, when I die, you guys go get my bones, dig it up or whatever you have to do, and neatly put them in a nice little basket and take me with you when we leave. And I want to be buried in the promised land that God's making. See, all these things, you read over those things and you don't know, what does that mean? How does that fit? Why is that so special to be worth putting in the Bible? And as you give yourself to read this thing, to get to know God better and how he wants you to live your life better, they start falling into place. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, as 23. Because they saw that he was a beautiful child. You know, I often thought when I read it, thank God, Moses, you were good looking. I'll tell you, if you were a homely baby, who knows what they would have done with you. But, you know, God put it in there because they saw he was just a beautiful little baby. Aren't all babies little babies beautiful? I'm not going to go there. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. I'm going to have to skip a little bit here to get done. That's all right. You can go back and read what I skipped, right? Look at 32. And what more can I say? For time will fail me if I tell Gideon and Barak and Samuel and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who by faith conquered kingdoms, performing acts of righteousness, obtaining promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fire, the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong because became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection. It wasn't just Jesus. Old Testament, New Testament, God raised people from the dead back then. And the real clincher, as far as I'm concerned, I think it's in Matthew 23 or something like that. It says, when Jesus rose from the dead, a lot of the saints come to life and come out in the streets of Jerusalem. How would that freak you out? Grandma, you've been dead for 50 years. What are you doing here? Yeah, that happened. It's recorded in the Bible. Not about grandma, but you know what I'm saying. And women received back their dead by resurrection. And others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mocking and scorning, and yes, and chains and imprisonment. Remember the gladiator movies? That was a real thing. It happened in Rome. Colosseum, it still stands there. And that's one of three places that I had the privilege to minister at in Rome. And we went by the Colosseum, and it was just such an eerie, evil feeling over that place to this day. The other places in New York City, some of that, and Gettysburg. Those are all different stories. And they were stoned, and they were sawed in two. Sawed in two? Bing. Who was ever sawed in two in the Bible? That's how I found out. And then I researched it more and found out, yeah, that's probably accurate. Who is the greatest prophet mentioned in the whole Bible, short of Jesus, obviously? Isaiah. Matter of fact, he had so many prophecies recorded in Isaiah about Jesus that Jesus hadn't even come yet, and they all came true. That he was, you know, that accurate. But in his older years, they were coming to get him. And a lot of times that happens to people that speak up for God. And maybe that's how I'll make you look God. I don't know. But it said he was hiding in a hollowed out tree. And they found him. And they pulled him out. And they sawed him in half. So that's how Isaiah, according to all history that they were able to determine, how he ended up dying. They cloned him. No, not really. They just cut him in half. Wandering in sheepskins and goatskins, being desolate, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not even worthy. Wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all of these having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised because God had provided something better for us. What is that something better? His name starts with a big J, Jesus. So that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. I'm going to end with these last couple of verses, verse 3 and 12. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter. I like that. Faith. Because I'm not totally perfected yet. I will die not totally perfected, and then I'll raise up in heaven. And I made it. I'm perfected. But it's not going to happen down here. Who for the joy set before him, talking about Jesus, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you would not grow weary and lose heart. The Bible is just full of things like this. That's why we need to get in there. And I don't know about you. Someone asked me once, why do you haven't... Oh, I knew who it was a lady down the road. And she had all those signs for the chameleon lady out in her lawn. And I said, so do you read your Bible on a regular basis? No, I read it when I was a little girl. I said, do you remember everything? Well, I think so. I could have called her a liar, but I didn't. Nobody remembers all those things. I read it every year, and I don't remember all those things. So I said, I'm kind of like a bucket. You ever have a burn barrel? Some of you know have burn barrels. And I'm kind of like a burn barrel. To get it to burn, you have to shoot it full of bullet holes so that it gets some oxygen in there and can continue to burn. But I'm like a burn barrel. I can take all that good stuff in. I read in the Bible every day. But if I don't keep adding good new stuff, all that good stuff will seep out of those holes from my nine. And you have to keep it fresh, don't you? You have to. I have to. So like I said, next week, I'm going to share some amazing testimonies with you about learning to walk in faith. And I'm not all the way there yet. But that's where we're heading. That's where you're heading. If you really love God, that's where you're heading. That's where you need to be heading to do whatever it takes to get there. God, thank you for giving us so many more chances. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for wanting to be our friend. I would be pleased enough just to have you as my God, but you wanted to go so much more deeper than that. A friend. That we would hear your voice and be melded with our tears when you do put a thought in our mind like, what battle's that? Well, it's all the battles. It's all the battles. God, we really need your help for you to bring us there where we belong, where we need to be. And we just make ourselves available to you right now. You don't have to say anything. He can read your heart. He can read your mind. And you just say, God, I just want to be there. I just want to be there. I can't get it there on my own, but you can bring me there. And I pray that you would, because you love me so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I hope you can all stay for the potluck. There's always more food than you could ever, ever eat. And We had 3 turkeys made for today.